come, bowing down before your throne. We know that we could never repay all we owe, but you said that we could come before you as we are, as we are.
Welcome. The following is a presentation of the Heart to Heart Bible study titled Building a Future, a study through the book of Zechariah. More information about this study is available on our website at www.refugefamily.com. Now get your Bible and let's get started.
Reading through the book of Zechariah is a little bit like going through the book A Christmas Carol by Dickens. As you know, in the Christmas Carol, they had all the angels present, past, present, and future angels came, and with them came the explanation of what these visions were that he was seeing, and it all took place all at one time. So it's a little bit like that, and we have explanation of all of the visions that have gone on in the book of Zechariah already up to this point. We have the angel explaining what the visions meant. On this one, on this particular portion of our text, now the angel woke him up to get more information to him. So this was not a dream, this was a vision. They are different from one another. And so just wanted to make that clear. But the first part of, this is the second section, if you will, of visions that are happening, the second section. The first section were the first four visions. That was one section. Now we're dealing with chapter 4, 5, and 6 that all contain the next section of our visions. And so I'm going to stop and pray right now so that I can keep my mouth going at the same rate that maybe my mind's going. So, Father, we do just put before you this teaching this morning, Lord. We pray, God, that your presence would be, we'd be very aware of your presence with us. Lord, that we would be very alert and aware of what you're saying to us, what you want to do in our lives, Lord, what you want to accomplish. And Father, we want to be made so clear of what you are saying. We want to pay close attention to you, Lord. And again, we just pray for our country right now, Lord, with all of the things that are going on. We know that our lives are in your hands, Lord. No matter where we live, no matter what's going on around us, our lives are still in your hands. And not one of us are going to leave this earth one second before your call for us. So, Lord, we want to walk in that faith, Lord, that faith that's the substance of things hoped for. We hope in you, Lord, and we are thankful. We're thankful for your confidence, the confidence that we have in you. And we give this all to you, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. And so, again, the angel woke him up to give him a vision. Again, this was not a dream. He wakened him up, chapter 4 of the book of Zechariah. And he said, this is the other thing I love about this chapter. The angel keeps saying, okay, wake up, what do you see? And he goes, I don't know what I'm seeing. Zechariah asks, what is this that I'm seeing? And the angel says, don't you know what it is that you're seeing? And I hear Zechariah saying, did I ask you? You know, I don't know what you're talking about. Could you please explain it to me? So that's what we have in this chapter here. And we move on. Like I said, we have this second session that we're moving into. The gold lampstand that is talked about here, and what do you see, verse 2? So I said, I'm looking, and there is a lampstand of solid gold with a bowl on top of it, and on the stand, 7 lamps with 7 pipes to the 7 lamps. 2 olive trees are by it, one at the right of the bowl and the other at the left. So I answered and spoke to the angel who talked with me, saying, what are these, my Lord? And then the angel who talked to me answered and said to me, don't you know what these are? And I said, no, I don't. Okay, so that's why I was asking. Just thought you might want to answer the first time. It's like talking to our kids, isn't it? But anyway, so we have the gold lampstand consisting of 7 lights. It had a bowl on top containing oil, and there were conduits to the lights. That's basically what the vision was. Also, there are the 2 olive trees on either side of this apparatus. The lamp stand was made of pure gold with 7 lamps. That brings to our mind right away that this is a menorah that we're looking at. And it is made out of solid gold. It's no doubt that it was meant to resemble the 7 branched menorah that was originally in the temple. It was designed for the Jewish temple. And we have Exodus 25, 31 through 40 on that, 37, 17 through 24. And of course, this is a vision, okay? So we have added things. In a vision, we can't have just, this is what it looks like. Okay, it's a cow, it looks just like a cow. In a vision, you have things that have to be explained. It doesn't look just like the menorah, but it reminds us of the menorah, but it has these other things added to it, which gives us reason to look and see, why are those other things there? Again, when we look in the Word of God, we look at it and we go, why is that there? That's exactly what Zechariah is doing here. He's saying, why are those things added to this menorah? So there's the bowl on top that's filled with oil. There are the conduits with the 7 lights, and the conduits leading to those, and 2 olive trees in it. And those added features show us that there is an unlimited and uninterrupted supply of oil in the lamps. Uninterrupted and unlimited supply of oil in the lamps. In verse 12, we're going to see that the 2 branches from the 2 trees constantly are pouring out golden oil. They are constantly pouring that out. So we need to pay attention to what's going on there. Fairly clear explanation of all of this, right? Okay, then. The lampstand represents the elect people of God. The elect people of God, Israel, and then the church. And it's clearly shown in these scriptures. Isaiah 60, 1 through 3. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples. But the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. How cool is that? Is that just so neat? And then in Isaiah 62:1, for Zion's sake, I will not keep silent. For Jerusalem's sake, I will not remain quiet, till her righteousness shines out like the dawn, her salvation like a blazing torch. Again, that illumination. In the New Testament, we have Matthew 5:14. Jesus called his disciples the light of the world. In Matthew, I'm wondering, do people look at us and say, you are the light of the world? I'm just wondering. I wonder about myself. Do people see that light shining through me? I'm hoping so. Matthew 5:16, he said, let your light so shine before men that they will see your good works and they will glorify your Father which is in heaven. And then in Luke 12:35, Jesus said, keep your lamps burning. And ladies, to us today, that is an important scripture for us to pay attention to. Luke 12:35, keep your lamps burning. We are going to need to keep our lamps burning. I've got to tell you that last Tuesday night, the Lord gave me a word for the evening ladies that was, we walked out of there going, well, I don't know. We got to keep our lamps burning. There's a lot going on in the world today. We don't need to fear what's going on. But we do need to do what God told us to do, and we're going to get into a little bit of how to do that in this chapter. We've got to do what God told us to do. He said, keep your lamps burning. How do you keep your lamps burning? You keep the oil in. You keep the oil of the Holy Spirit, which we'll talk about in just a minute. In Revelation 1:20, it seems to be the same as Zechariah's vision. Jesus stands among the seven golden lampstands. On this occasion, Jesus explains the seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands are the seven churches. So, okay, so this is kind of brought together as being the same as Zechariah's. The oil of Zechariah's vision is also very, very clear, and I've already not only alluded to it, I've actually said it, that it is the oil of the Holy Spirit. It represents the oil of the Holy Spirit. It represents that, and it's so well that the Holy Spirit is represented by oil. What does oil do? Now, I know that we have some ladies in here who use different oils for different things, and we're going to probably cover a little bit of that. It's a perfect representation. What does oil do? The first thing that I have that oil does, number one, is it lubricates. It takes the squeak out. My bedroom door, every morning when I got up and I would close the door behind me, I would wake up my husband because of the noise of the door, of the hinges, because there was friction between the two pieces of metal. And so it squeaked. It made a louder noise than it needed to. What did I do with that? I put a little oil on it. It lubricated it. Now I can sneak in and out at my will. So, number two, something else that oil does is it heals. It heals. Luke 10:34. In biblical times, wine and oil were applied to the wounds. And we still are using healing oils today, aren't we? We use peppermint oil for a headache or all the different, I don't even know all the things, but I know there are a lot of different things that the oils are used for, and it's used for that outward healing and some inward healing, but I'm telling you that the healing, it is only the oil of the Holy Spirit that can heal a wounded, scarred, sorrowful, hurting heart. It is only the healing, the oil of the Holy Spirit that can heal a wounded, scarred, sorrowful, hurting heart. Number three thing that oil represents or is to us is lights. Light. The Holy Spirit opens up the scriptures to us. It illuminates the scriptures to us. It shows us the way that we're to walk. Psalm 119:105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And again, I've talked to you before about this, that this lamp unto my feet, light unto my path, was a lantern that they held close to their feet. It wasn't something that was held out like this to show the way. It didn't light all the way back to the door there if it was dark in here. It only would light the next step, the next area that you have to walk in. That's the way God shows us. He just gives us the next step. In prophecy things, it does give us something to look forward to, but it doesn't really show us the next step. It is the oil of the Holy Spirit that does that in our lives. And by the way, I do not in any way fancy myself as a prophecy teacher. And I want you to know I am struggling as much as you are in this book of Zechariah. So if I say something that really sounds stupid, just go, yeah, okay. But just take it to the Lord, you know, and we'll walk through this together. But number four thing that the oil of the Holy Spirit does is it warms. It is only through that warming of the Holy Spirit, only the Holy Spirit's oil in us that can penetrate our cold, unresponsive, impregnable hearts. It is only the oil of the Holy Spirit that warms us to the place where we want to accept Jesus Christ as our Savior. It is the work of the Holy Spirit in us. We work with the Holy Spirit. When we are ministering to people, when we are sharing Christ with people, that's the work that we do. But when people come to the Lord Jesus Christ, it is a work of the Holy Spirit that brings them and draws them in. And so another thing that the oil does is it invigorates. It invigorates. It gives us energy. I love it. I like coconut oil. I like to use coconut oil in my cooking and in other things. And I found out some things about coconut oil. Coconut oil helps to clear things out. Clear out that junk, you know, that you don't need. It's something that it gives me energy when the junk is gone. Do you ever notice that when you really clean your house, that I know there are most of you in here have your houses always really clean, but, yeah, who are you? Raise your hand. We want to, no. But you've spent days, you know, really getting the house clean, don't you feel like you have more energy when your house is, everything's in order? I do. You know, sometimes I can't study if things are a mess. I just can't do it. And so I make nice little stacks of things, and then it's neater. So anyway, but it's not quite as a mess. But it gives me energy to be able to do that. So it's an inward and outward thing as well. And so number six, oil invigorates. Or I did that. Number six is it adorns. It adorns. It was used in the feasts of Old Testament times, but it was never applied in times of sorrow or grief. The adorning oil was never applied during times of sorrow and grief. 2 Samuel 12:20, Psalm 104:15, Isaiah 61:3. And the seventh thing that it does, here we are with another seven. Another thing that it does is it polishes. Oil polishes. It gives a shine on furniture. And it's also used to work down the rough places. Do you have any rough places that you need the oil of the Holy Spirit to work in your life? So a life under the control of the Holy Spirit is filled with the joy of the Lord and smells like Jesus. Filled with the joy of the Lord and smells like Jesus. When I used to wear an oil that was, can't even remember it, white musk. I used to wear white musk. And when Bethany's had little babies, I would hold the babies, and then she would get the baby back, and she goes, oh, this smells like Mom. You smell like Grandma. And that was so neat to me, and that was a reminder to me, when I am being held by Jesus, I put off his fragrance to people around me. So we need to remember that. But in our text here, Zechariah asks for an explanation of the vision, and the angel tells him that it's actually a message to the chief civil ruler of Israel, which is Zerubbabel. It's very clear here. It says it exactly that way. So you remember in chapter 3, it was an encouragement to Joshua, the high priest. And now we're getting in chapter 4 and a new beginning here, we're getting an encouragement to Zerubbabel, who was the chief civic ruler was Zerubbabel. So the message of Zerubbabel has three facets, and they are in 6, 7, and 9 through 10. So in verse 6, so he answered and he said to me, as he explained it, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. It is not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Not by might, nor by power, But by my Spirit saith the Lord, this mountain shall be removed. This mountain shall be removed. This mountain shall be removed. By my Spirit saith the Lord. You just learned it in the Old King James. So, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. And so this verse has it says to us, only God's power can accomplish God's purpose. Only God's power can accomplish God's purpose. This verse has often played a significant role with Judaism when they felt that they were small, when they felt that they were powerless, yet they were comforted by their reliance on God. They were comforted by their reliance on God. Whatever you are going through right now, I'm telling you, you can be comforted by your reliance on God. That confidence of knowing that He is with you, He will care for you, He loves you, and He will not let anything happen to you that hasn't gone through Him first. And this verse is actually inscribed on the front of the synagogue of Cologne. And that was reconstructed after World War II, right up there. Not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. And so then it goes on to verse 7. Who are you, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you shall become a plain, and he shall bring forth the capstone with shouts of grace, grace to it, or shouts of beautiful, beautiful, or shouts of God bless it, which happened to come right at the time of the sneeze. So that works. See how God is in control? I love it. I love it. So, yeah, so there are obstacles. There are obstacles that Zerubbabel is going to have to deal with, as if he weren't aware already that he had obstacles. And it says that it's going to become level ground. He shall bring forth the capstone with shouts of grace, grace to it. That means he's going to be in the beginning and he's going to be at the end of it. God has just told him, you're still going to be alive when this is done. You're still going to be around. Isn't it nice when the Lord lets you know you're not going to be dying before this is over? Because sometimes when we're in the middle of some of the things like Zerubbabel was in the middle of, we feel like we're going to die. I can't handle one more thing. I just can't handle one. I want to die. Kill me now. On some of the things that we go through. But God has given him a word, and he said, you're going to live at least until this time, at least until this temple is finished. And so, moreover, the word of the Lord came to me saying again, and this is in verses 9 and 10, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this temple. His hands shall also finish it. Then you will know that the Lord of hosts has sent me to you. For who has despised the day of small things? For these seven rejoice to see the plumb line in the hand of Zerubbabel. They are the eyes of the Lord, which scan to and fro throughout the whole earth. And so the promise that Zerubbabel will complete the temple construction, the hands of the Lord, he's going to lay the foundation stone, he's going to complete it. And who despises the day of small things? Who despises the days of small things? Men are going to rejoice about it. Here's where we get encouraged. We get encouragement. Zerubbabel was a man with a lot of problems. Do you feel like you're a woman with a lot of problems? I feel like I'm a woman with a lot of problems. I have a lot of things going on in my head all the time. And just they're inward, they're outward. He was a man with lots of problems in his attempts to carry out God's work and to move forward. Do you find yourself there now? That when you struggle to do what God's called you to do, sometimes it's hard to do what God's told you to do because of some things that are going on. Well, he had to fight. Zerubbabel had to fight three main things. The first thing he had to fight was lethargy among the people. Lethargy. Oh, yeah, okay. yeah, the temple really does need to be put, really does need to be built. Yeah, it really does need to happen. That's lethargy. That's knowing what needs to be done and just kind of, yeah, okay, yeah. I don't really have enough energy. Lethargy and energy. I don't have it. I don't have any energy for it. God can give it to us. The other thing that he had to fight was smallness or lack of vision. Smallness or lack of vision. Proverbs 29:18, without vision, the people perish. Without sight, the people perish. Without grasping that vision, we will perish. And the third thing was a lack of faith within Israel. What? These are people who have come back to Israel, who have come back to Jerusalem. And there's a lack of faith. Remember, not all who came back believed. Right now, Israel is calling for those who are in France and in the other areas. The Jews are under attack. You've noticed that in the news. They're under attack. Israel is saying, come live in Israel. Come to us. We will take you in to the Jews that are there. They're saying, no, we don't want to go. But remember that some of those will go, and many of those will not believe what the Word of God has to say. They will not be believers even in Judaism. Do you realize that Israel, one of the reasons that Israel is not growing at the same pace as other religions is because they have the highest abortion rate per capita in the world. The highest rate of abortion per capita in the world. Not all believe just because they live there. It's not about the property. It's about the people. There is a lack of faith. That's what he had to fight against. Matthew 17:20 says, if you have a faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, be removed, and it will be removed. Just that much faith. That much faith. If you just have that, these mountains can be removed in our lives. In 2 Corinthians 5:7, we walk by faith, not by sight. We walk by faith and not by sight. Because what we see is not necessarily what we see. Outwardly, he fought the determined opposition of the evilness of God's enemies. Are we fighting? Are we determined to fight the opposition and evilness of God's enemies? Tough deal. Some hard stuff has just happened with the Coptic Christians from Egypt. Simply because they were Christians. Simply because they were Christians. No other reason. I hear in my mind scriptures that I have learned a long time ago about what it's going to be like in the last days. And we need to have that faith in Christ that only he can give us. We need that oil of the Holy Spirit at work in our lives, because there are tough times ahead of us, and we just need to draw close to the Lord while we can. While we have the privilege of drawing close to him, don't waste it. Don't waste it. Having said that, it must have felt like they were huge mountains that he would be removed, but they were an obstacle that human power could not remove. They were obstacles. We cannot remove ISIS by our human power. We cannot. But they can be removed by God's power. And God urged him to be strong in completing his task, knowing that the Lord himself would reduce the mountain to ground, to level ground. God himself is going to do it. And so the victory would be won by God's Spirit, not by human power. The victory will be won by God's Spirit and not by human power. There are no shortcuts. There are no shortcuts. The work still had to be done. The stone still had to be laid piece by piece on the temple. Any worthwhile task has a small beginning. It all has a small beginning. It all starts somewhere. Even if you're talking about knitting, you got to put the first stitch on. And then you got to put the next stitch on. And then you got to build on it. So, you know, maybe it's different from building a building. But, you know, in a building, you got to put the foundation first. But before you put the foundation, you got to dig down. You got to put it into an area that holds the whole building up. So you got to do it in the way that it's appointed for you to do it. And it's hard work, and there are no shortcuts. I've seen buildings that had shortcuts in them. And what happens? They fall down. The first wind that comes, reminds you of the three little pigs, doesn't it? The first big wind that comes, it falls down. The first area of trial that comes, we fall. Unless we are built on the rock and done it, and we've done it that God's way. Today, we have no work required everything. No work required everything. We want to take shortcuts. Now, on the way here, I was late getting here this morning because I was taking my regular shortcut to get here. But on my regular shortcut, they're doing construction. So I waited in line and decided I would enjoy these moments. I will talk to God about how I am feeling. No, it was okay. It really provided an illustration. I loved it. But sitting there, we take shortcuts and they don't work. We end up taking a longer way. It takes more time. But what are some of the things? When we first moved to Australia, the first time we visited Australia, actually, there was instant nothing. They did not have cake mixes. They did not have bread. They didn't have the biscuits in the tin. They didn't have anything that was quick and easy. The first time I bought a piece of pork, I thought it was already cooked. It was not. And so I had just put it in to heat it up. So, no, we had something different that day. So nothing was instant, though. So what are some of those things that are instant that we have now, no work required? My toothbrush. I don't have to scrub because the toothbrush is doing all the work. Okay, doors. We walk up to a door, it opens for us. We get through the door, it closes behind us. We don't have to touch it. Escalators. I don't have to climb the stairs anymore. I don't have to go in that little closed-in elevator. I can just step on that step and stand there and be escorted up to the top. Or down to the bottom, whichever way I'm going. Okay, faucets. No work required. And although I do love... How do I make it work? How do I make it work? Okay, try the next one. And then you go to the faucet that has little handles on it. You know, remember those things? Yeah, and you're going, how do I make it work? Oh, okay. Oh, that, look at that. It all comes through very easily. But it did require some work on my part. And then I have to remember to turn it off. So I have to remember to do that. How hard that was to remember that. We have instant soap dispensers, no work soap dispensers. We have no work paper towels. That Jaden, and again, it's the, or, you know, we can put our hands in that little other thing, and it dries with the air. So that's another instant thing. I don't even have to pull out a towel. I don't have to rub my hands together or anything. It'll do it for me. Toilets that flush on their own. I love that. You're just getting ready. You know, I just came in the room for crying out loud, please. In European airports, some of the toilets have automatic toilet seat covers that go around. You go in, and as soon as you go in, it goes and goes around in there, and so you have a nice clean, you don't have to touch that. Lights that go on in the new office, we walk into a room, the light goes on for us. If we don't keep moving around in the room, the light will go off for us. Cars that will park themselves, cars that they're working on right now that will drive themselves. We don't have to work at anything. And then, of course, we have Google. We don't have to do any work. We don't have to look up anything. We don't have to remember anything. We don't have to do anything at all. We just push a couple of buttons and ask Google. Now, you know, I did look at something on Google yesterday. And I was with Bill, and the answer that it gave, do you trust that site? So why do I trust that site? If it tells me this is what that means, why do I trust that? Because I know in some things, you look up some things and it really isn't. Why do I trust that? You know, well, yeah. I trust the dictionary that's in a book too, but it's an instant thing. It's another area that we don't have to remember. We want to take shortcuts. What will we do with all those seconds that we have saved? What will we do? We'll fill it with more no work required things, won't we? Yeah. We've come to expect shortcuts, and it's created somewhat of a mind-lazy generation. A mind-lazy generation. We want a simple principle that will explain the Bible to us. We don't want to, not you guys. I'm not talking about you guys. You guys are here. You guys have done homework. But overall, there's a lot of, I don't really want to have to, you know, dig in and find out what that means. I want somebody to just tell me what it means. I don't want to have to deal with that, get into that Bible study. Sometimes we want an experience that will set us on a new spiritual plateau and that we'll be just fine. We eliminate the need for hard climbing up the steep mountain paths of discipleship. We don't want to do the discipleship thing. We want fellowship that has all of the elements of a godly friendship, fellowship, without the work of building up on that fellowship, without my having to give anything. We want it to just be there. We want to take shortcuts, but this is not God's way at all. No shortcuts. They are not good for us. They take too long for us to get through. I go through shortcuts in IKEA, and I always get lost. I'm telling you, that big sign up there, shortcut to whatever. And then when I get into that whatever, I don't know how to get out of there. So anyway, yeah, even Zerubbabel was a leader of Israel and who received a promise that he will live to see the completion of the temple. Even Zerubbabel, a man who had a lot of problems. But even he, as the leader of Israel, he received that promise that he was going to live to the completion of the temple. Zerubbabel was promised the fullness of the Holy Spirit to complete his work. He was promised the fullness of the Holy Spirit to complete his work. And Zerubbabel still had to take his plumb line in hand, and he still had to work away at the mountain every day. We still work at the wearing down of the mountain every day. one day at a time, and he still had to trust the Lord to bring it to pass. He still had to trust God. It was about 4 years after this that the temple was completed. Those 4 years contained lots of hard work, and many times he was hindered eternally and externally by enemies either way, inside or outside. And as then, so now, victories will be won by those who advance toward them one step at a time. One step at a time. Remember, the light only shows us the next step. We know what the goal is, but we only know the next step for sure. Okay? So baby steps. Any of you who have watched What About Bob years ago? And he would take baby steps, and that's what we need to do. In verses 11 through 14, then I answered and said to him, what are these two olive trees at the right of the lampstand and at its left? And I further answered and said to him, what are these two olive branches that drip into the receptacles of the two gold pipes from which the golden oil drains? And then he answered me and said, don't you know? And I said, no, I don't. And so he said, these are the two anointed ones who stand beside the Lord of the whole earth. So here we have the question of the two olive trees and the two branches that Zechariah noticed pouring oil into the bowl of the lamps. The angel answered by saying, these are the two who are anointed to serve the Lord of all the earth. Clearly, this must be Joshua and Zerubbabel, the religious and the civil heads of the nation mentioned before. But there's more to it. Joshua and Zerubbabel are identified as two branches, not as the trees. They are identified as two branches of the two olive trees, not the trees themselves. So we can't pour out oil if we're not attached. We can't give out the oil if we're not attached to the tree. And then, number two, the promises made to Joshua in the preceding chapter were immediately carried out into a prophecy that were concerning the Messiah. We saw that in chapter 3, verse 8, when it talked about the branch, this my servant, the branch, and we were talking about Jesus, the Messiah, at that time. Given these facts, the olive trees undoubtedly represent the priestly and kingly offices in Israel, of which Joshua and Zerubbabel were then, at that time, the office holders. But in Revelation 11:4, it speaks of these two as being witnesses, the two witnesses. That's Revelation 11:4. But the true supply of oil, the true supply of oil is from the one who is both priest and prophet, the King of Kings, namely, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's he who gives the Holy Spirit in abundance. These are all scriptures from the book of John, John 14, 16, and 17, John 15, 26, and John 16, 7 through 15. Please note that the bowl containing the olive oil was connected to the two olive trees. There was a constant flow of oil in abundance for the seven lamps. And so we're closing with this. It's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. The abiding truth for all the people was that that which is accomplished for God must be accomplished in the power of the Holy Spirit. That which is accomplished for God must be accomplished in the power of the Holy Spirit. And so with all of that, there's a whole bunch of sevens that are in this, and the whole bunch of sevens throughout the whole Bible. And sevens point to Christ. So I had typed up this that I was going to run off for you, but because I took the shortcut, I didn't do it. So if anybody's interested in having a copy of this, I can run off some, and you can pick it up before you go. So I want to be filled to overflowing with the anointing oil of the Holy Spirit. I want to never be detached from those olive trees. I want to never go in my own direction. And I'm praying that for you guys too. And so, Lord, as we look to this, Lord, we want to learn from it. We want to grow from it. And we want to be more like you, Jesus. And we are thankful, Lord, for the work that you've done in our hearts, for the things that we've learned. And we want to keep moving forward with you, Lord. And we thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Giving up, letting go, standing up, stepping out, walking on in the power of your name. I'm giving up, letting go, standing up, stepping out, walking on in the power of your name.
This has been a presentation of the Heart to Heart Women's Ministry at Refuge Calvary Chapel, Huntington Beach. For more information about this ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495.